All right, that brings us to item five, which is our update on the 2025-2028 CICERA Strategic Plan. Christina.
Great. So this does kind of follow up on Tim's presentation, so I won't touch too much on the investment side of the strategic planning that we've been going through since he just touched on that. But if we can move to the next slide. Just a recap of how we got here. We started the strategic planning process by conducting interviews. There were interviews done with managers, supervisors, board members. We did surveys, so we surveyed our members for the first time. We surveyed our employers for the first time, and then we surveyed all of our staff to really see what was important to those parties when we put this together. Then we took all that information and we had two different workshops. We had a workshop with the managers and supervisors, and then we had a workshop with the board. Through those workshops, we came up with some strategic goals or themes that we wanted to focus on. There's member employer service, investments, technology, governance, and workforce development. So all of these themes were adopted by the board March 19th, so we're now at about 6 months that we've had these themes with objectives as well. So if we move to the next slide, these are the themes, the goals and the objectives. There were 12 objectives. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm sure if you want to, you can read them on your own. But there's the five themes.
Everybody read them.
Every word.
Absolutely.
So if we move forward to slide five, this is really just to get into what we've done since that March 19th board meeting date. So we created implementation plans. So for each of the 12 objectives, there was a plan behind it. And what that plan included was, out of all the staff that we have working here, who's the main staff member that's responsible for really driving that objective? Then secondly to that, who are the other parties that are involved? So it's not one person to complete an objective. There's a team behind that. There's just one person leading it. We looked at what resources were needed in order to achieve that objective, what the risks were if we didn't achieve that objective, and then we developed a timeline and how we would measure success. So all of those implementation plans were created. We also created communication material for staff. So we wanted staff to really understand the full strategic plan and what everybody was striving towards. So it may be one lead manager and even a group of managers that are getting this objective across the finish line, but all staff are going to know what that objective is and what's going on behind it. So we met with the staff in an organizational staff meeting. We went through the full strategic plan and then provided them all with a one sheet at a glance strategic plan. So it provides them with, here's our mission, here's our vision, here's our objectives, and they can hang that in their cubicle. They can see it at any time, they can read it, they can talk about it, maybe not, but we hope. And so that was all distributed to them. If we go to the next slide, we then took all of our implementation plans. Because that was multiple documents, we wanted to have an easy, quick access area that here's exactly where we're at. So we created a matrix and it has progress points within it. And then we keep a notes section and we keep everything that we've done for each one of those objectives through it. And so far, seven of the objectives have started having meetings behind it. Some have already had action taken behind them. And then I'll kind of go through some of those different points that we've taken to reach those objectives. In the parentheses is that theme that it falls under. But we have started planning a member open house that will occur before year end. We are looking to tie it to our portal go live date so we can bring members on site and then encourage them to sign up for the portal on site with staff who can walk them through the steps. Also having different type of presentations that they can come and listen to maybe get more information or just come and see where our office is and that this is where we're located and here's how they can find us. And we're also, last year we had done an employer workshop. We did that first employer workshop in August. And with the go-live of the new system, we have delayed our second employer workshop, and we're looking at mid-November right now. And this is a workshop that we bring all of the employers on site, and we provide a half day of training. And it could be information on how to fill out our forms, because we know that a lot of our employers, sometimes going through the audits, we've seen that not all the enrollment forms are filled out correctly. And it's not because they don't want to fill them out correctly. It's maybe because they don't understand some of our language on those forms. So we go through a training on that. We go through training on submission of different reporting that we need, our I-30 reporting, why it's important to get it to us on time, our demographic reporting, why we need to have those job titles. And so just a training on that. We're doing it in November because we want to be able to provide an opportunity for the employers to bring their I-30 and I-29 submission files to that workshop and sit down with a CSER employee and walk through the new employer portal to be able to upload those files in real time, those actual files for their October contribution month. And then for the member and employer side, we've also created a list of videos, and we're researching different videos that we want to do. We have some videos on our website, but we wanted to focus some of our videos more towards the retirees, because a lot of the videos that we have out there are targeted towards the active population, you know, how to establish reciprocity, or, you know, what it looks like when you're about to retire. So what the team started to look at is, you know, a video on COLAs, a video on how to change your direct deposit. You know, we get a lot of questions around that. So maybe just having like quick snippets that we can have on our website. But then we also, through the new pension system, we want to be able to email those videos out. So we've started collecting members' emails. That's not something that we previously did. And so we want to start building up. Yep. Yeah, we started collecting them maybe 2 years ago, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, I'm sorry. It just seems really funny to me that we've waited that long.
Yeah, because we really didn't. How we communicated to the members, like when the member newsletters go out, we would go through the employer, and then the employer would disseminate but we didn't have ones where it was, you know, individual to that member. And so we're trying to move more towards that email side of it. And in the new system, we can do a lot of that. So we're starting to collect those emails and add them into the system. And then we'll be able to email the videos out and not just be telling people, go to the website. That's where the videos are.
Well, it's direct, though. I mean, to Candace's point, that the model has been indirect through the employer, right? That's been the way to disseminate. And so this is one-stop shop. It's here. We have our own database, and we do direct communication to members, right?
Yep. That is definitely the goal that we have with the new system.
Any reaction back from employers?
We have not heard anything negative or anything positive, so we haven't heard anything. We have, when we did the member survey, we had limited emails, but we used everything that we had in there, and which is still a pretty good amount of the newer members coming in, and employers didn't seem to have an issue when we sent that out.
I think our largest employer just kind of expressed a vote of confidence. That's what I heard.
Well, it's just interesting because obviously you can't reach retirees necessarily through the employer. Right. And so not having retirees in the email address, to me, does really hinder what you're trying to accomplish. So I'm really glad to hear we've been doing it for the last 2 years. And I think that would be very, very beneficial. And I think it's much better even with our active members to be directly communicating with them as opposed to depending upon the employer and hoping that they do send it out and just look at.
Yep. Another one for, we don't want to leave the actives completely out of that list since we are focused on retired. So we are looking at also creating a video on the difference between defined benefit and defined contribution plans. And so, you know, getting that out to the actives so they kind of understand the difference, because we do get a lot of phone calls from actives thinking that we are their 457 plan as well, which we have no tie with the Empower accounts. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please.
And I'm assuming on our website, do we have a link to the empowerment website? site so people can find it?
We don't, but we definitely can do that.
I think it would be helpful, and I'm assuming other agencies.
Can you turn your mic on? I'm sorry.
Oh, the empowerment is the 457 plan for the county who handles your 401k type contributions. And so to me, it would be really helpful, and I'm assuming other agencies have their own 457 plan, and they're not necessarily using empowerment. It would be nice to just have a section on, especially when you have that video that says, we are not your 457, and you can even say 401k type plan. Because not everyone knows what a 457 is. Until I joined the county, I had no idea. And then just if we are able to have each of our agencies that we administer their defined benefit provide us with that link, it would be really nice to send it there. Because I know particularly Empowerment has many different websites. And as a participant in it, I have to bookmark which empowerment site I'm going to because it's very specific to Contra Costa County. So I think probably other 457 plans have something similar. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, we'll definitely look into doing that. I think that's a great idea. And so then along with getting all of those emails and that survey that we did before, we are identifying ways to survey members ongoing. So we did it for the strategic plan, but we would like to have ongoing surveying of our membership to really get an idea of what their thoughts are. We have been talking to Sagitech about that survey tool, and they're building out part of our pension system to be able to do the survey for us. And then because of the way our Microsoft Exchange server is, it only allows so many emails out at a time. We've also been working through IT to have another app that's connected to it to be able to allow those the large amount of emails that go out. So we've started to kind of plan ahead for when we're going to do that next big survey and make sure that we have the IT capabilities to do that. And along with that is really creating a guideline so we know, you know, as all of us leave, you know, really talking about continuity of these new practices we're putting into place is to make sure that there is a timeline of when these surveys are getting done, what are the questions that are in the surveys so that as we're surveying, if you use repeat questions, it's easier to be able to identify where your improvements are needed. Yeah.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but are there any social media into the outreach efforts? I mean, we've seen how it's done, or it's been utilized in the last couple election cycles, and I know it's still some time before that target audience kind of reaches that retirement age, but in the interim, in terms of outreach?
We have started doing some of that, and you can follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook. it is still earlier stages, but we've started using social media to try and get some messages out, reminding members about submitting documents when they need to, including even we have some different posts that we do on starting to think about retirement, because you find that a lot of people don't really think about what they're going to do after they retire. And that sometimes creates some fear in retirement. So we've put together some different topics around that, like here's some ideas of what you can do when you retire, and we do social media posts around that as well.
I mean, I'm not asking for like TikTok dances and stuff like that. But in terms of like polls and informative, you know, hey, here's an upcoming webinar that you might want to take part in.
Yes. Well, definitely we have started it, but that is something that we're building out more. We've started creating kind of a schedule of like different topics that we want to touch on through our social media.
Thank you.
And then we also created templates for postcards. So getting kind of away from the technology, we know we still have people that like to get that mail, or they're not on social media, or, you know, they get, you know, thousands of emails each day and maybe lose ours. So some of the big events for members, we're looking at sending postcards out, like when they have vested, when they've reached eligibility for retirement, different marks throughout their membership, where it might be good to get a postcard to think, oh yeah, that's right. You know, I have questions about this now. Let me go talk to Cicero, but it'll have some information on there.
So is the postcard in addition to a direct email or other communication?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And those postcard templates are being built into the new pension system so that it can create those postcards in bulk so that it's much faster to get them mailed out.
Christina,
and then, yeah.
On that, are you using a QR code or some other medium of which they can access it? I love the fact that we're using multi-prong approach to reach our members where they want to be reached.
Mm-hmm.
Postcard being low tech, being a guy that sends out about 400,000 plus pieces of mail each year. I applaud your effort, but also having that be interactive right there for our tech savvy group instead of having to go somewhere. It's just right there. They've got their phone in their pocket to take them right
yeah.
in would be.
We can definitely add that on. I don't think we talked about a QR code, so I like that. Yeah.
It's a very helpful tool.
Yes.
Like a postcard that I'm handing out. Want to register for the newsletter, screenshot this and you can fill out, and or you hit the QR code, of course, and they can just immediately sign up for something. I'm even started doing it on PowerPoints when I have a survey, when I have an application. And it really, when you're mailing something, very often that is really nice to just be able to say, okay, I don't have to type in the website and hope I can type it in correctly, especially if it's a really long URL. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Thank you.
I think it's safe to say we're all looking forward to getting a letter from Mr. Mirzwa shortly.
It should be within a week, yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I run to my mailbox every day looking for it.
It's already online. I saw it yesterday.
And so then kind of moving towards our theme of the workforce development, we've started staff training around different topics we thought were important for staff. They've already started going to some of those trainings. And then, next slide, please. We also rolled out a new online learning system for staff, so they can, on demand, go and take trainings on different classes. And it could be, you know, Microsoft Office classes, it could be soft skills classes. I know the county had, years ago, they had like Target Solutions, which was an online platform. It's similar to that, it's just a lot more. And so we also have that platform, but we found that they had decreased some of the offerings on it. And so we found a new platform through ADP that has a lot more options, and staff have been going online and taking on-demand training classes. We also created an agency orientation, is what we have called it. It really provides an overview of Cicera. So as new employees come in, we meet with them and we go through how Cicera is funded, who our board members are, who our management team is, you know, all of those really high level Cicera items. And we talk about each of the departments. We get to have kind of an individual meeting with those new employees so they can ask questions about Cicera and get educated within the first 3 months of their employment. And then the next two you can see is around investments, which I know Tim already touched on today, really about the investment consultants and the new reporting platform that we have, which we refer to as CAISA. I know it's not called CAISA anymore.
It helps me to remember what
okay.
it is.
Okay. Us too.
We hate new names.
And then we started reviewing the procedures that we have across the organization, updating them, looking for, you know, key elements that we can keep across all of them, including, you know, what parts of the CERL are included that need to be, what policies do they touch, have all those elements within the procedure itself. And then next slide. Still to
I have
come.
One question on that one.
Yeah.
Your second bullet point on that slide, and made me think about this. Do we, would it be useful to think about something that someone might want to access in the way of a an orientation type tool if they were a prospective employee, like think career development, thinking about working for Sisera, or what do we do and how do you apply?
Yeah.
And we're kind of blessed with relatively low turnover, but there are people that might be interested in knowing what career opportunities are out there.
Yeah, we can definitely build something like that. And it actually, it kind of leads into this still to come. There's a culture statement that we've been working on. I think it's actually the next page, but it's, so we were, one of the themes we had was around really maintaining the culture that we've worked very hard at creating over the last couple years. And we've had a pretty strong culture where our surveys are showing that staff are happy to be here, and that, you know, they're finding connection to their work, which is really important to us. So we wanted to really create a statement of this is what our culture is, so that going forward, if there's ever a question, you can look to that statement. And then also that's going to get incorporated into our recruitment practices. And so we can definitely, you know, create videos around that or different things like that that we have posted on the website, or when we put job announcements out. Luckily right now we're fully staffed, and but, you know, as things change, as our staff retire, which is what we're here to do, then, you know, we'll have to fill those positions. So we're trying to get ahead of that now and really build into our recruitment process what our culture looks like. So, yeah. And then we go back a slide. So there are some strategic objectives that are directly related to the new pension system. So those, I mean, the new pension system has been ongoing, obviously, but those objectives haven't really kicked off yet. They're really around launching the portal and what it looks like after we launch that portal, and what it looks like on the staff side after we launch the new system. So there's definitely going to be a lot more around those strategic objectives next year, since the new system will be launching this year. And along with the new system, that's going to flow into a lot of process changes. So we've started working on procedure development, but there's some areas that are going to have more process changes than other areas. So those areas we haven't focused as much on for doing the procedure development yet. We're focusing more on the areas that the system doesn't directly touch and making sure that we have procedures in those areas. But once that system goes live and we have the time to really see what process changes we will have, those will end up coming through in a written procedure. And then the next slide, staff and board training guidelines. So we have started developing different training guidelines for staff. So here's, you know, we send all staff to different calipers trainings. We have trainings at our all staff meetings, different things like that. So we're just documenting that to make sure that going forward we can maintain that. And then, as Tim mentioned, we are in the contracting stages of the new general investment consultant. So there will be more feeding into that objective as we go through that. And today at the investment committee meeting, there is a discussion on the private markets investment consultant. So there will be more to come on that one as well.
What on your first bullet, it references board training guidelines, and the theme is governance. What's the kind of the peek behind the curtain on that?
Oh, yes. So it's more about documenting different trainings that staff can put together for the board in order for the board to meet the education hours requirements under 315.22.8. And so, as you all know, there's hours requirements that board members need to receive every 2 years. A lot of that happens at conferences, but there could be some that we can bring to the boardroom. So if people aren't able to travel to conferences, they're still able to get those hours through other means. And so we're looking at creating a list of really what those items are, and then how can we, you know, schedule them throughout the year on the board agendas.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so that's really all that I had. That's where we are 6 months into our 3-year plan. Are there any questions or any other ideas I can jot down? Because you guys have some great ideas.
Any thoughts or questions for Christina?
Very comprehensive. Thank you so much.
Christine, do we ever think about doing like a survivor's benefit team? And we do that for when a person dies, the survivor calls and to assist them and get into the whole process or anything like that? Like the what their benefits are and what they need to do and stuff like that?
Right now, they can call their retiree counselor. Are you thinking that there'd be one person that talks to all survivors?
Yeah, either one person or a team, like a couple of people, and say, okay, hey, or when we know we get notified that somebody passed away, we haven't heard from the spouse, of reaching out to the spouse and saying, hey, we got this information, and to work with the spouse to get everything done, even if they have like maybe a 457 when empowered. You, like a list, you might want to contact these people and because it's Social Security and stuff like that.
Yeah, so right now our retiree counselors, they do reach out to the beneficiary on file. If it's a surviving spouse, that's who they're reaching out to help them, the beneficiary, get that information together. It's split by their last name alphabetically. But we don't have a list of, hey, maybe you should ask these people. So I think that that's a great idea, and we'll add that to their checklist when they're talking to those.
I think that'll help.
Yeah.
But people don't think of that. When somebody dies, they don't think, I still got to check this.
Any deferred comp or Social Security. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We'll add that to our checklist.
There are good models out there for that kind of listing.
Okay.
Just in terms of being available.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Is necessarily notified if beneficiary?
Yeah, is necessarily notified if beneficiary dies before the retiree or
not? We are not. No, I mean the member sometimes notifies us of that, but we don't get like death notification service. We don't get a notice from them because we're just running the people currently on payroll. So if the retiree is the one currently on payroll, then they're the ones that the system is checking on, not the beneficiary.
Okay. Anything else? So we're in the service business. We make money and we pay benefits. At the bottom line, that's the strategic plan, right?
That's exactly it, yes.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, no? Thank you, Christina.